Tribute.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Try your waist in it now. Till your body attends. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that,
dip knocka.
Talking about bollocks. Do you know what I feel like, Owen? I feel like I'm on the graveyard shift. Like, everyone's gone to bed and I'm on my own. I'm like, someone buzz in here. I have to pilot this ship. I need someone to keep me company in the cockpit. Buzz in, chat to me while everyone's not here. I feel like that. And this week I'm joined by
Enya Martin.
Probably the busiest woman in Dublin. In Ireland.
Do you know what? People always say that to me, especially lately. I still feel like I'm not doing enough.
How?
Proud but never satisfied. I don't know. I have my finger in a load of pies and I'm like, I should be doing more. Like, you know that saying, proud but never satisfied? That's exactly how I feel. And I wouldn't mind, but I seen a quote here before and it was like, how can you complain what's on your plate when your goal was to eat?
Yeah.
So when I'm really stressed out, I'm like, here, this is what you wanted many years ago. Remember during COVID, you had no shows, you had no income, you're on the PUP. Now look at you can't afford to moan, so...
And every time I see your Instagram, it's like more dates added. I was like, "How? What? There's no more days left in the year."
Yeah,
just as well. It's a leap year.
Is it?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
A leap year. Yeah.
I have a new tour now, so I started like during the summer. I started up like I suppose around the west of Ireland, and I was glad I done those shows there because by the time you bring it back down to the east coast, we'll say. It's like a solid show then, you know, it's like a kind of road test. Yeah, because Dublin and the surrounding areas, that's where I sell most of my tickets, like, you know, and obviously with your podcast as well, you probably noticed that. That's because it's where you're from, you know.
It's a listener base. And then as well, you're doing the coaching on the side.
Yeah. I've been doing that. I've been taking that seriously now for about 2 years now, like, but especially the last year, I did a fitness photo shoot from January to May. So like you're living like a monk, like,
yeah,
no alcohol, no meals out, everything has to be cooked at home, tracked, like every crumb that passes your mouth had to be tracked.
Yeah.
And you're doing like 90 minutes of cardio a day, like,
yeah,
on the Stairmaster. But yeah, look, I love doing things like that because I like challenging.
It's a challenge, yeah, and it's a goal as well.
Yeah, and you can prove yourself wrong, like your old self, you know. I used to be, especially during COVID, I found I was slipping into like bad habits, like binge drinking and stuff and just eating shy. And once you get into that rut, it's hard to get out, you know. Yeah. The hardest part is getting out. And then once you are out, you're like, yeah, I'm not going back there. Like,
yeah, and you're holding yourself accountable. But I think everything that you do, you do hold yourself accountable because you're self-employed technically. So like you have to make sure your show is great. You have to make sure you show up. You have to make sure that your meals are cooked at home. And then on top of that wasn't all enough. You had to write a book as well.
Yeah. Oh God. I remember I used to do videos with Rory, you know, Rory Stories.
Yeah.
And he was after doing a couple of books at that stage before we parted ways and started doing our own thing. And I was like, God, I wonder whenever I'll get the opportunity to write a book. And it wasn't a matter of I'll never do it. It was a matter of like, when are they going to slip into me DMs?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to write a book on? Because I didn't want to write similar content to what he was doing. You know, he was doing it on like the GAA and stuff and like being in a relationship. And O'Brien, a girl from O'Brien Publishers, contacted me in my DMs and she said, would you be ever open to doing a book? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, right, well, we'll set up a Zoom call and we'll throw around a few ideas. So I just said, what's something that I know a lot about, right, the female species, and what's something I'm good at, right, comedy. So why don't I do like a book about friendships? Because a lot of the videos I make are kind of like target at girls, like, and you know, like the girl in the group who does this,
yeah,
or the girl on
group
holiday.
Chat mentality, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
It's the same with lads. Like, you know, if you were to do a video or make a page, a funny page, you'd probably know a lot about your mates and the way they go on. And in fairness, like the only difference is men versus women. We all have the same type of friends. We do.
Yeah.
Like there's a chapter in that book called like, how did I end up friends with these people? And it's like all those friends you went through to form your core group. You know, like the waffler, the stingy friend, like, you know, the one that was always grounded growing up.
Oh.
Yeah,
she's right. Yeah. So the problem is, I still have a load of waffle mates. I hate.
Oh, have you been to Tenerife? They've been to Eleven Reef. Yeah,
just the lawyers. Like I have people now, and if they told me today was Tuesday, I'd Google it just to be sure. Do you know what I mean? You can't, they can't be trusted. And they say, you're like, oh, here we go, and you're rolling their eyes, and you're like, but you, do you know what the problem is? You never hold them accountable. So do you know, they might be like, going to run the marathon the weekend, and then they'd be the following week and be like, should we not pull them up on that? And be like, well, you're not running the marathon. You don't, you just let it go.
Yeah.
And then they'll say something else, like, go and do an Ironman 2 weeks, and you're just like, ah, oh, yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? You never hold them accountable. You just, in one ear, out the other.
What do they get over though? Like, just the compulsive lying. Like,
I think they believe their own lies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're a legend, mate. You're running marathons, and you're like, oh, yeah, I am, aren't you? But you're having a conversation with yourself, pal. You know what I mean?
I think they're just addicted to the pats on the back. Like, oh, fair play, you know. Yeah. And then they just never succeed with it. Like, or, you know, friends. I sometimes think, I often have friends, or did have friends, that just lie to get out of things, and you're like, look, we know this isn't going on in your personal life. Yeah. Like, just tell us you don't want to go. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think that's different though. Do you know when someone like hits you with something, you're like, how are we going to get out of this one? And you're like, oh, many nannies have I got left.
That many nannies have I got left.
You know what I mean? It's like when you start a new job and you're like, that, right, that's it, me nanny and granddad are back alive, lovely.
Yeah, a fresh set of grandparents, yeah.
But so it's all about like the group chat.
Yeah, well, like, do you know what? The great thing about that book is you don't have to read it from start to finish. Like, so it's like a funny self-help book. So you could open up a chapter, and a chapter could be about how to survive a girl's holiday. And, you know, another chapter would be how to survive the group chat, how to survive a hen party, or, you know, when your best mate breaks up with a fella, like how to kind of, you know, help her get through that and stuff. And it's funny, like, you know, obviously a lot of the videos that I make are based around women. So now it is a book that's targeted women, and I know a lot of girls listen to the podcast as well. So yeah, like you'll get a lot of golden nuggets out of it, and you will find some benefit reading it. Like, it's
not just all comedic.
It's not just all comedy. Yeah, do you know, my friend, my best mate, was reading that, and she was crying at some parts, and like, you wouldn't expect that.
Emotionally crying, or like, because it was funny?
Both, we'll say both. But there is kind of like some like kind of touching parts in it, you know, because I didn't want it to be all like taking the piss out of your mates. Like, let's be honest, like, your friends are the family that you get to choose, aren't they? Like, you and Terrence would be really close, like, and, you know, my best mate who read that, we'd be really close. And, you know, I kind of take inspiration from our friendship and like my other mates, and put it into the book. And then obviously stories from other friends and their friends, you know.
Yeah, it came from a good place.
Yeah, it did. Like, I've fucking loads of material on my mates I do. Like, a lot of the show is about them. And if I was to write another book, it'd probably be like one for the couples, because, you know, I know a lot about relationships as well. I'm in one long enough. But yeah, and it was really fun writing, I have to say. Like, you will get a giggle over.
I had to get an itch now too.
Well, to be honest, when they came to me, I thought they were going to give me like months to write it.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, so if you could just get back to us in like 8 weeks. And I was like, 8 weeks? Yeah, so it needs to be about 10 chapters. So first of all, I was struggling to think of 10 chapters, 10 topics like that you could write a lot about. And I managed to get 9, I did. And then one of them's kind of like the intro. But yeah, I'd done it in like 8 weeks. It was nearly like 2 chapters a week. I remember I was over in Portugal actually on a fitness retreat, and like, I'd kind of have to nip into a cafe and like do a chapter there and stuff. Like,
That's like being in school, isn't it? It's like a deadline.
It felt like I wasn't really good at English. Well, I was, obviously I'm fucking fluent in it, but like,
you say that I failed English.
Yeah, I only got a D in higher level. Like,
yeah, I failed it.
How do you fail a language that you're fluent in? Like, yeah. But it was all like kind of like grammar stuff, like apostrophes. Like, if I look back at like my English essays from the Leaving Cert, I'd be like, the whole essay was just one big sentence. Like, there was no apostrophes or full stops.
There's no starting and stopping, yeah.
But they had proofreaders and all for that. And I was actually reading, and I know it was one or two typos I did. I was like, oh, look, when they reprint, they will fix them. But it's a lot, especially because my attention span for things is very small.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just drift off, like, when people are talking to me and stuff. So the level of concentration that's needed, I found myself even drifting off reading my own book. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it actually is, it's a very easy read. Like,
yeah. Are you going to do an audio version of it?
So everyone keeps asking me that. I know it's definitely on Kindle, but if you actually open it, some of the chapters in it, it's like reading a film script. I have a Kindle as well, and I find it hard to read because, like I said, I drift off. Like, yeah. I went to get assessed for ADHD, and I do have it. Like, so, like, I prefer doing like listening to podcasts, and that's what like audiobooks would be like. That it's like listening to one big long podcast, you know. And you're hitting two birds with the one stone as well when you're out on a walk or something like that, because if you had to stand there and read a book, you'd be walking at the poles. Like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, they're great for flights and stuff.
Yeah, so it's a handy one. Handy stocking filler.
A handy stocking filler. Like, it's out now, and I actually went into Eason's, me local Eason's, which is in Liffey Valley. And,
so you couldn't rob it?
Yeah, couldn't rob it.
Didn't know you.
Couldn't skive it. Like, they're going to be, I went in there and they hadn't got it in yet. They said, oh, it's on the way in. We've a load of copies on the way in because it's your local one. I was like, oh, I was hoping to get a few pictures, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Seen another few books. I was right next to Johnny Sexton, I was, when I did the book launch. My book was beside his book in Mary Street.
Yeah, I would have took a picture and be like, look, my book's not even here, it's off the shelf. Yeah. Get your hands on beside, the next time it comes in.
Beside Johnny Sexton, like, yeah, that was weird. But I know it was very fulfilling to walk by the window in Mary Street, and because, you know, I would have been brought into Mary Street as a kid with my ma, going into Pennies and stuff like that, and to see our book in the window, especially when you knew you weren't that great at English in school, like, it was a great achievement. And the guys, like O'Brien, they said they were very impressed with how I was able to, you know, transcend my comedy into a book, because a lot of people find that very difficult to do, you know, even from like video onto stage, like it's very hard for a lot of people to do that.
Well, it's out now. Enya Martin, One for the Girlos. I'd love to write a book, but I wouldn't know what to write a book about, and I don't think you should just write a book for the sake of writing a book. Like, as you said, you'd like, what would we do, and you had to spitball it,
because otherwise you won't enjoy it.
Yeah,
and you'll lose interest, you'll burn out very quickly. Like, so it has to be something that you'd know a lot about and that you could write for hours about, something that you're experienced in. Like, you wouldn't know what to write about.
What are we thinking on?
Did you ever get asked to write a book?
I think it was loosely, like, just floated, but, like, I think that was one of them, just write a book for the sake of writing a book, and I'm like, I've nothing to write about, like, do you know what I mean?
I think,
like, there's different types of books that you could write, so there'd be a fiction one where, like, you're making up an entire story, and then, like, it could be a funny self-help one, or, I don't know, a biography book.
Do you know what it could be? It could be How to Bunk Into Places.
That's a self-help guide in itself.
Yeah, I think so.
Pictures and everything, diagrams.
Yeah, I only got a message the other day about it. I just blanked their messages. I said this to Alan before, like, people who text me and I don't text them back because I can't trust people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they do something and they'd fuck her up and then I'd be held liable. And I'm like, mate, you're a fully grown adult and you tried to bunk into a concert and you broke your own leg. That's not my fault. You know what I mean?
And I think if you had a book launch, you'd be like, yeah, you can come, but the only way you can get into the book launch,
you have to bunk into the
bunk. Yeah, you can't use the front door.
But then you won't need to buy the book then because you can bunk in. Do you know what I mean? Like, when Coldplay was on in Croke Park, it was scandalous. Like, people were putting up videos and TikToks and on their stories on Instagram. And I know of someone who works there. Because remember, they had a day off. Coldplay had a day off. They didn't do all the shows back to back. There was like two, a day off. And then two, the day off, the staff got called in and they were showing people's like Instagrams and TikToks and be like, this is how they're bunking in. And I'm like, you had to ruin it for everybody else. Boy, putting her out there. And what did you get? You got a few likes on TikTok or whatever. We had to ruin it for everyone.
I remember when I was at Electric Picnic, it was this year now. I was performing that, so I got a ticket and a guest ticket, right? And I went with my mate, but we bumped into my friend there and I was like, I didn't know you got a ticket for Electric Picnic. He was like, no, we paid some fella 100 quid and he brings you in the back of a van.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
Like, it literally, like, so the people who are letting the van in think it's just stock, you know, like for one of the vans or something like that, like one of the food vans. And he said, anyway, we were in it and there was this fella out of his fucking head in the back of the van and all like that. It was like something out of the wrong tone.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to cut this because she's giving away someone's gig now, do you know what I mean? But the Coldplay thing. So after all that happened and no one can get in, then on the Sunday, I had tickets, I ended up selling them and I still managed to get in. And everyone's like, how would you do it? I was like, as if I'd tell you, like, do you know what I mean? As if I'd fucking tell you.
I had another story as well about a friend of a friend who got into Coldplay. He just went up to the turnstile and he just didn't have a ticket and he just flashed 100 quid at a man and he let him through.
Daryl Chestnut as well. Yeah, I know a few of them. But
I'll tell you, people do that for a bit of money, like.
Yeah, I could do a chapter on different venues, do you know what I mean? You could do, like, there's Croke Park, there's the Tree Arena. Here's like another venue, wherever.
You just literally just print out the blueprints of the venues and say, this is the best.
Yeah.
This is the best way to enter.
I think there's a science behind it because they call it social engineering. You know, it's how, like, you don't have to hack into someone's bank account. I can just send you an email and you'll end up sending me all your details yourself. Do you know, like, do you know when you ring up, like, they're always catching elderly people. This is AIB. Can you give us your bank details there just to confirm it's you?
And boom.
But that's called social engineering. You don't need to actually go in and actually hack anything.
My ma was convinced Simon Cowell was trying to get money off her. Like, she was like, will you put money on an Apple card for me? I says, what are you doing putting money on Apple cards? I was like, what do you want that for? She's like, oh no, I'll tell you after I do. I says, no ma, this sounds dodgy as fuck. And she was like, Simon Cowell wants me to send it to him. I said, who's Simon Cowell?
Simon Cowell. The multi-billionaire.
Come on now, for fuck's sake.
How, what did she got a random message on Facebook or something, was it?
Yeah, I was like, that's not Simon Cowell. That's someone, that's, she just, yeah. Thank God she asked me, because she probably, if she had
she probably would have
found out herself, yeah.
Yeah. You have to bleed mind these people, don't you?
Like, I got stung. It was when I only had about 50,000 followers on Instagram. I got a text on WhatsApp to be like, oh, your account's going to be deleted in 24 hours. It was the first time I ever got a message like that. So
and
I was like, oh.
Then.
And is like, change your passport or change your password now before we like delete your account because like copyright infringement or something. And I was thinking, fuck that, 50,000 followers and all, I better get on and sort this out because I'll lose them all. And little did I know, like when I was logging my password in, they could see me do it.
Yeah.
And bang, locked out straight away. And it took me days to get it back. But it took me about a week to get it back. And I remember my fellow was like, you swear someone that's a fucking dying the way you're crying now.
Yeah. That's like, how it's your business.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, yeah.
I was crying myself to sleep now. I swore my mom was after dying the way I was so upset. And I was like, only 50,000 followers. Like, but like, it's your livelihood. You're like, I'm going to have to start from scratch again.
Yeah.
And only for I knew someone who worked in Facebook, I was able to get my Instagram page back, thank God. But that's how easy it can happen.
Yeah. And the thing is, Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, it's all the one company.
Yeah.
So like, they only need one set of details to get into the one person. We usually do listener questions, Alan. Have you got any?
We do. First one is from Sinead.
Does she say where she's from?
She doesn't. No.
See, usually they say, and you'll be like, oh, Enya, and I'm from Finglas. And I'm like, all right, Enya from Finglas. It's great to hear that there's people in Finglas listening.
The next
You'd
question,
be surprised by that.
The next question, we have a location for you.
Right, I like that.
You've started really getting into this whole thing about people sending where they're from.
Yeah, I like it.
It's called classism, money.
It's so we can discriminate. Yeah.
That's fair.
It's reverse snobbery.
Yeah.
Reverse snobbery, yeah.
So Sinead doesn't tell us where she's from, but she wants to know, how many pets are too many? She has two dogs and a cat, and she's wondering at what point does she become a crazy animal.
She has
person.
Too many pets. Too many.
That's too many. Three is too many.
Three, way too many. Three of two different species. That's way too many.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think when the house starts to smell, that's when you know you have enough pets. Like,
but the house could smell with one dog.
It could, yeah. My,
if it's a smelly dog.
Now, we were cleaning that gaff last night, and we're like, there's a bit of a stale smell, isn't it? And it's a smell of dog, and you have to bleed and heal, mop the floors, open all the windows, all that air freshener, and now it smells fresh again. And plus then you have to get the dog groomed.
Yeah, it's like wet dog. But I think, I have a cat. Just one cat now, but like they're real clean, they're real independent. Like, but you have to groom dogs. My fella used to have one of them semi huskies, and like it was like a big white cloud walking around the gaff, but shed it everywhere.
Yeah.
And like they obviously smell because
if they get wet,
they
you
get
can't
wet,
ride them. Yeah,
but I think three would
that's,
be my
that's
cat.
Too many. No, that three is too many, ain't you? I think it's mad even having one. Like, I was walking today and the dog's sitting there, and I'm like, I live in the gaff with an animal. Like, there's an animal in my gaff. None, we can't even talk to each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, he understands some things I say, but like, he just looks at you then. I'm like, what? Like, how has this happened in life, in like the human species? We took this creature in. Like, he's a beagle. He should be out there hunting. Cunt hates being outside going for a piss.
There's no danger of Bruno hunting, don't worry.
No, definitely not. See my dog, he goes outside for a piss. Sometimes like he takes his time, so I close the back door and then I go off. And then I come back, he's like crying at the door. I'm like, you're out there probably 60
easy.
Seconds. Do you know what I mean? Your ancestors were out there hunting.
I always love asking people this question as well about that pet. Like, if your dog was a celebrity, like, or, you know, an actor or something like that, like, what, whose voice do you think he'd have?
That's a great one.
If your dog had a voice, like, whose voice?
That's a fucking great question. Whose voice would you like him to have?
Or who just, if your dog could talk, whose voice do you think he'd have? Like,
yeah.
You know the way that you have a personality, like.
whose voice would you like your cat to have?
I think of my, she's a girl, she is, so I think she'd have a Marge Simpson voice.
One of them?
Yeah, I thought she'd be a chronic smoker, like, I'd say she'd smoke 40 a day, like.
Yeah.
She's real independent, like, do you know what I mean? And she's one of these, like, she'll scrape the door in the middle of the night, you open it, she'll walk into your room, have a look, and then just walk back out.
Yeah.
You know, like, just real spiteful, like.
Yeah, just to make your life inconvenient.
Yeah. Oh, she'd probably be a bully if she was in school, like.
Yeah. I think Bruno would have a soft voice. He'd have a soft voice. Someone kind of timid.
Like Michael Jackson.
Oh, Jesus. No, not that soft. A bit more masculine than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have a slow voice.
Do you reckon?
A lazy voice.
Yeah. like Morgan Freeman kind of voice.
He's a beagle, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman's not a bad too.
A big beagle.
He's not that big. Does a conspiracy going around that the dog's a bit heavy?
You're overfeeding it, are you?
Conspiracy.
No. Well, he went to the vet. That was a long time ago. He went to the vet months ago and the vet said, like, oh, he's a bit heavy. A bit heavy. You can see, like, the muscles on him. He's stocky. That's muscle, because muscle's heavier than fat, and then you know this as a coach.
Yeah, actually, yeah. They weigh the same, but muscle takes up less space.
There you go. Now, facts. She's the most qualified person in here to deliver that fact, so can we just nip that in the bud that my dog is fat?
What's he benching?
I don't know.
Or barking.
But, yeah. Right, Sinead, you have too many animals in your gaff, just letting you know.
All right, sorry, Sinead. Next one, from, calls himself Bonesy in Drogheda.
That's a real Drogheda nickname, isn't it? Yeah.
Sounds like he needs to eat a few calories.
Yeah, there you go.
Bonesy wants to know, bit of a Halloween theme here, would you rather be chased by a werewolf, a vampire, or a mummy?
The skeleton fella. A mummy, surely. Vampires can fly.
To see, yeah. Can vampires fly?
Yeah. Easy. They can turn into bats.
Do they turn into bats?
Is that not the myth?
It depends on which vampire, but yeah, I think so, yeah.
Werewolves are bleeding wolves.
Yeah, I wouldn't
be. I think you'd have the best chance with a mummy now, because werewolves, they'd be able to run, like.
Yeah, in the 100-meter sprint, yeah. The mummy's coming last.
Imagine that game at the Olympics.
That's not a bad show.
Do you ever see like them werewolf films back from years ago? Like the special effects of like them turning into werewolves.
It's just a fella with a beard.
Oh, it's just a fella with a beard. Yeah. Just sticking on toupees to him, like.
Yeah.
So corny it is.
Yeah, I've seen they're remaking it, them werewolf films. Do you know, they're bleeding, the horror ones. They're making that, it's coming out next year. And then the vampire one, Bram Stoker, he wrote Dracula. He's from Clontarf.
Yeah, I never knew that. Like, so he invented Dracula, did he?
Yep. Is that, yeah, like, how? Where the fuck did he get, like, where did that come from? I think that's not spoken about enough.
Supposedly, I may have this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's true. He used to live in one of those houses in, you know, in Fairview, kind of where Westwood Gym is now.
Yeah.
And the park opposite that.
Yeah.
So he lived in one of the houses in kind of that.
The big three-story houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he used to look into that park there at night. And that's where he got some of the inspiration for the...
Yeah, you can actually go to his house. I think it's a tourist attraction, isn't it?
They used to have the museum in Westwood in there. You used to go through the whole thing and someone would come out fucking and follow you around. You scared the shit out of you. But like, I was like, how the fuck did this fella from Clontarf? That's not spoken about enough.
No.
You know all the vampire films? You have Twilight, you have fucking all the Dracula films. What other vampire films do we have? And this fella in Clontarf got it just looking out his bedroom window, come up with the inspiration for that.
Yeah. What was the one that was Tom Cruise? He did one.
A vampire film?
Was it actually called Dracula, or I think it was called something else?
Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I used to dress up as one of them, like, as a kid in Halloween, like, and you just be wearing them. They were like gum cutters, they were. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Those teeth that you used to put in? And then, like, you'd wear those big long rubber fingers and all. Do you remember? And a black bag.
Well, I remember just wearing a black bag and you paint your face black then as well. And you'd be like, what are you? I'm the coal man.
The coal man, yeah.
You'd never get away with that now. You'd be cancelled now if you put that up.
How innocent we used to be. I had two friends and they used to dress up. This is no word of a lie. And like, their parents just thought this was normal. Every year they would dress up as prostitutes. I'm not even joking. And they were only like 8.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you supposed to be? A prostitute?
Yeah.
Like,
didn't know what a prostitute was. What are you, a braza?
Yeah, I'm a braza. Like, and their mom's like, just, I stand still for the picture. Like, little leather skirts on them and all. Like, what the fuck? And me standing beside them, dressed as Dracula. Like, do you know what I mean? Pure innocence of a like.
Do you dress up every year? How'd you grow over?
I don't know. I actually have a funny story about Halloween. Like, but this really put. I didn't like Halloween after this happened. It's funny looking back on it. But we went to, you know, that nightclub at the Red Cow, when it used to be called, we'll say it rhymes with Aviva. But and he was dressed up as Robin, right? And, you know, from Batman, Robin. And I was just dressed up as a sailor or something like that. And I think it was only my second Halloween that I was old enough to drink, like.
Yeah.
And
so what, you were 13?
I think it was, you say legally, yeah. So I think it was about 19 and we went there, we did. And we said, we'll leave early so we can get a taxi because it's bedlam trying to get a taxi there on the main road. So we were walking down a bit and it was about 1:30 and these fellas were running after us, right? And like, here, yous, here, you umfle. And I was like, what the fuck? Going on here? And your man just like socked me fella into the face, right? And I was like, what is going on here? And apparently there was some girl then that ran up and said, that's not him, that's not him. There was someone else dressed up as Robin in the nightclub that must have done something on her, right? And then the cherry on top was, I'm not even lying when I say this, someone dressed as Batman, I swear to God, ran up and said, leave him the fuck alone. You couldn't make this up. Like, they were like kicking the shit out of him. Now, he only got away, he got out with like a black eye, that was it, but it was like terrifying. Like, and then another fella dressed as Hercules and all, like jumping in from, like, it was just, you couldn't make it up. Like,
the guard is showing up and everyone's like, hey Adam, we don't need any more fancy dresses here.
No more superheroes.
I dressed up one year and it's the only time I ever actually remember dressing up as like an adult or a teenager or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you grow out of dressing up, I think, when you're about leading 10.
Yeah.
But I think young ones love it. But we were in college and I dressed up as 50 Shades of Grey. I went down to Cairns paint shop on Talbot Street and took all the grey samples and just stapled them all together and stapled them onto my t-shirt and got away with it anyways. Yeah, good, correct.
Some of the costumes would be very good. Some people use that noggin for it. Did you ever see that one fella just going around with the name tag Eileen and he just has a load of white stuff on?
Oh yeah,
come on Eileen.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was going to say you could leave that to your imagination. But they're always very topical, isn't it? What's topical now? Surely someone's going to be on top of that.
Right, one more question for you. Let's see. Oh, Shrek has some information for you. That's what he's calling himself or herself, who knows. He said, Calvin, on an episode before, you and Terry talked about celebrations and how you'd like to select your own sweets. So you remember you were saying you'd like to do your own customised box of celebrations, and he was saying Heroes have it, so you can select your own box.
Heroes do they?
Whatever you want. So he says,
is it like that M&M shop in New York where you can just go in and just pick out your favourite M&Ms? Why did he, can you do that with the chocolates?
No, but I was saying it'd be a good idea if you could say celebrations. Say you had to put like 40 in it or whatever. It's like there's a number. So there's going to be 40 chocolates in this. What way do you want to break it down? And you can be like, I want bleeding 10 galaxies. I want 10 galaxy caramels or whatever. But like, let's say your fella was doing it for you. He could pick like all your favourite chocolates, leave out the ones you don't like. And then instead of saying celebrations, it would say like Enya on the box. And there you go. It's a handy little present. You know what I mean? But Heroes do it, do they? Heroes are rotten.
Do you know who I feel sorry for though? Quality Tree.
Yeah. They just remind me of me nana.
Did you ever hear the Quality Tree Christmas tree? Remember you used to have the different colour lights on the trees?
Yeah.
And your tree used to look like a box of Quality Street. Like, I don't mind Quality Street, but I just have to, the chocolates have to have a brand, Sean.
Yeah.
I love eating like a little mini Mars and all, like, but see them fudge sweets.
Yeah.
What they need to be replaced with something else, like.
Yeah. No, but this is what I'm saying. So, like, you could go on and you could say, I don't want any of them and I want more of these. Do you know what I mean?
I
think there's a good market there.
I actually have a joke about box celebrations that if you ever go to the petrol station where I live in the middle of the night, do you ever go to a petrol station at like 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
It's a grim scene.
Oh, it's a grim scene. And I always say, especially, you know, where I'm from, a council estate, it's like, imagine my estate was a box of celebrations, the bounties and the fudges turn up to the petrol station. Like, they're just fucking outcasts. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, what are you doing at 2 o'clock in the morning buying a bag of Mighty Munch for, like, in your girlfriend's house coat?
Yeah.
Like, could I not have waited till tomorrow? Like, was it that much of an emergency?
There's never anyone buying petrol.
No, there's
never anyone buying petrol.
I do feel sorry for the people that they be on them windows because you have to shout your, like, if you have, this is something I say to people as well, if you ever want to get good at public speaking, go to a petrol station at 2 o'clock in the morning and shout your order with no shame through a window, like, you know what I mean, through a window hatch, and you have to repeat yourself about 10 fucking times.
And it's always when he has to run over and you're like, no, not them ones, not the ones underneath them, and then you're trying to guide your man along the aisles and you're like, fuck it, I'll just take that bottle of water there, fuck it, come on then. And he's like, you ordered a bottle of Coke or whatever, you're like, yeah, I'll just take a bottle of water, I'll just leave it, it's just easier this way.
Yeah, because it's just a back and forth. I asked him for a box of tampons before and he's like, we don't have any jam bonds available, the deli's closed. And I'm like, yeah, go up at 2 o'clock in the morning, the off chance you'd have a ham and cheese pastry, like.
And yeah, have you want to plug any dates coming up? Surely you'll probably have 4 new dates by the time you walk out of this building.
Yeah, well, the 25th of October, Vicar Street is sold out, and we added a new date, the 17th of November. It's a Sunday, it is, so that's selling quick. So I'm giving you notice now because I think it's only like in about 4 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Yeah, what date is actually today?
It is 4 weeks. That's the date today.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's the date I'm doing the High Rocks.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
So no, no, a two today. Don't worry, I know. I'll tell you many hours it is away. No, yeah.
Who smuggled Hyrox into the country?
Some legend. Some absolute legend. Because I've never seen a bigger moneymaker in my life. They just rent a warehouse somewhere, minimal amount of equipment in it, and it's sold out.
Just run around in circles.
You can't get a ticket for it anywhere. Oh, I had to. So I'm actually raising money for this one. I'll put the link on my Instagram. Please come on down. We have to raise money in order to get this ticket. Right, well, that's it then, yeah?
Yeah, go on to Ticketmaster if you want to come see me in Vicar Street. And then there's loads of other dates for around the country too, like, because I'm in the middle of my tour now, Is It Just Me? I have a link tree on my Instagram too, like, that can you can buy the book online as well, One for the Girlos, which is out now. And then if you want to come see me show as well.
Right. And yeah, thanks for coming in and giving me a dig out. And I'm sorry, you probably actually know the email to send the questions in, does she? She probably doesn't. No, send your questions or any dilemmas or anything you have, and any future co-host suggestions for these bonus episodes to talkingbollocks@goloudnow.com.
Yeah, you shouldn't need to.
I'm looking at you for some confirmation and security here. I don't know, Terrence usually does it.
Nod.
Yeah, Terrence usually does it, and I kind of just blank it out of my head because I know he has it. So I'm like, I don't need to know it. Like, he's going to do this. And then I'm like, I should actually really know that.
You should.
And then last week, Darden and Joe knew it. So I was like, oh, grand. So I just assumed you'd know it.
Yeah, they just changed the name of the email. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same layout. Yeah. Yep. See you next week.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Call your waiting in now. Fill your body a tent. Walk it high and low. When you finish that. The Hypnoca.